Riviera Radio. Business.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How are we today?
Good, actually. I had a lovely night's sleep. You
Did
know when you,
you
have a great night's sleep, you feel rejuvenated in the morning, refreshed, you're ready to go. I feel like that today.
Do
How
you?
About
I
you?
I feel the complete opposite, actually. Yeah, I didn't sleep that badly. I just woke up feeling tired for some reason. And never mind, you should get yourself up to Scotland today. It's going to be 17 degrees up there.
Oh, very nice.
Mad,
wow,
isn't
17
it?
Degrees. That's
in
good,
January,
isn't it?
In the Highlands. Mm.
Very pleasant.
Mm. Okay.
Global warming.
Yeah, you said it. Markets, some respite yesterday. It doesn't look like World War III is going to break out just yet.
The risk of escalating tensions in the Middle East did weigh a little bit on investor sentiment, particularly during the course of the European trading session yesterday. Saw cyclical sectors, mining technology hit hard. Oil shares surged as crude prices jumped above $70 a barrel. Airlines, of course, that are vulnerable to higher fuel costs also coming under pressure. Risk of a conflict helped to overshadow data from Europe that showed that the service sector picked up at the end of last year. But we only saw European shares, Stock 600, down 0.4%. And actually, we had a positive session over on Wall Street, recovering as the towards the close, finished in positive territory. Dow Jones up 68 points, 0.25%. NASDAQ was up just over 0.5%. So, yeah, I think perhaps some signs of an easing in tension or hopes of not escalating. Will be seen as positive, of course, by markets. And that performance on Wall Street should set us up for a better start on the European bourses this morning. Currently calling the FTSE up 33 points. DAX over in Frankfurt up 66 points. CAC corner Paris up 31 points.
Nevertheless, the ball is very much in Iran's court now, isn't it? And there's no doubt that they will retaliate in some fashion in the near future. It just depends what they decide to do. But, I mean, you would suggest that if they wanted to target some oil installations, that might be their easiest pickings.
As you say, there's plenty of opportunities apparently for Iran to strike back as and when they feel it's necessary. There's a report out that's come in the last few minutes that's paired back actually US futures a little bit, saying Iran is assessing 13 retaliation scenarios against the United States. So it's something that's going to play out over the course of the next few days, perhaps over the course of the next few weeks. But we should remember, of course, the global economy, financial markets are incredibly resilient. Growth is a default setting. Risk assets perform well over a moderate period of time. And in the past, markets have been able to cope pretty much with everything from recessions, depressions, all the way through to world wars. So if we do see some weakness on the back of the fear of an escalation of a conflict, if anything has taught us, it could be the potential for a buying opportunity. But we're certainly not at that stage yet, and we're certainly not seeing the escalation in tensions that would suggest a significant market sell-off at this stage.
And both sides have to be incredibly careful, I mean, for different reasons, really. But President Trump's facing re-election, of course, and it's not going to be viewed well if scores of American military personnel start coming home in body bags. While Iran, the government, is very unpopular, I mean, mainly because of the sanctions and the economy is falling to bits. And there are also elections in Iran imminently too.
Yeah, there's incentives on both sides not to escalate this one. It was seen as an aggressive move, a surprisingly aggressive move from President Trump that's ignited this turmoil across the Middle East and the potential for reprisals coming through. But as you say, the hope is that it won't dramatically move on from here at this stage.
OK, signs of further weakness in the German economy. German car production down quite a lot.
Yeah, fell to its lowest level in almost a quarter of a century. Last year's demand from Europe's largest economy suffers from the fallout from the global trade war, weakening demand in China, and changes to emission standards as well. Automakers produced 4.66 million vehicles in German factories last year. That's the weakest since 1996. 9% decrease on the previous year was primarily driven by weakness in international markets. Actually, domestic demand was pretty strong, rose 5% last year, it's the most since 2009. Unemployment very low, of course, in Germany. Interest rates are incredibly low, as we know, across the Eurozone. So lots of reasons to suggest that domestic demand should continue to be positive. The weakness, though, that we have been seeing is forced manufacturers and suppliers to cut costs and slash jobs. Lackluster demand comes at a time when manufacturers are also having to, of course, invest billions of euros to develop electric and autonomous vehicles. So a miserable year for a sector that's right at the heart of Europe's manufacturing powerhouse.
What do you think Christine Lagarde, the Central European Bank, will make of that?
Well, I think she'll be looking at the data that's been coming through. It's all been pretty lackluster, it has to be said, despite the better services number that we saw yesterday. And she'll be knowing that the European Central Bank in some way has been running out of ammunition and needs to put pressure on politicians to commit to some of that structural reform that we've been talking about for some time, along with fiscal support as well. And we should be hearing more about that, I think, from a range of different governments saying that they will be investing more money. We hear it in the UK, and particular emphasis, and Christine Lagarde's been certainly promoting this, the idea that that investment should be around green technology.
Right, so paradoxically, some good numbers from Rolls-Royce, but it's not really mass market, is it?
Not mass market, no. Rolls-Royce owned, of course, by BMW, just releasing their results in the last few minutes. Record numbers from them, recorded a 25% jump in sales in 2019. They said underpinned by solid demand for its first SUV, the Cullinan. The 116-year-old company sold a record 5,152 cars last year. North America, they said, continues to be the biggest contributor to demand, counting for around about a third of sales, followed by China and Europe. So I guess if you've got the right product, if you look in the right market, you can still do well. I have to say, I don't know if you've looked at that Cullinan, it doesn't really appeal to me. I have it.
No. Some of the modern ones are a bit ugly, aren't they, really?
Well, the Cullinan in particular looks a bit like an oversized London taxi, particularly if you get it in black. You have to. I'm sure it's very pleasant to drive,
yeah,
and
sure.
Very nice,
yeah. Luxurious
inside. So I guess if you're inside, you don't really care what it looks like outside. But yeah, it wouldn't be my choice. I mean, if they're offering me as an ambassador for the company, then I would take it.
So but, what would you have then? What would your vehicle of choice be?
I would take a Rolls. To be honest, the car I would go for is the Rolls-Royce Dawn Black Bad. I'm not interested in Ferraris, Lamborghinis, not with my back getting into those, but the Rolls-Royce Dawn Black Bad is an unbelievable car. That, for me, that's the car I would
I'd
go for.
I'd hate to see your carbon footprint, honestly. You know, it's supposed to be downsizing. All these heavy vehicles emit more CO2. You know, we should all be driving little smart cars and things around.
Yeah, well, little Henry actually likes the Mercedes smart car, so maybe we'd have that as well.
Okay, and, you know, Pandora's doing pretty well, but they haven't seen all the returns, those trinkets you bought for Mrs. Potts for Christmas that she doesn't want yet.
Yeah, more my market. Shares in the fashion jewellery chain Pandora jumped 12% yesterday after reassuring investors it would reach the upper end of its profit forecast for 2019. The maker of affordable bracelets and charms is due to release its full-year results on February 4th. The market's still expecting like-for-like sales to be down, maybe down as much as 8%. Pandora did say that its profit margin for 2019 would be higher than the previous forecast range. That was between 26 and 27%. The update suggests they have been making progress on reducing costs. This is part of its big turnaround plan. Pandora was a really successful company. It came to the market, did very well. They were selling lots of things, but really struggled to maintain that momentum, particularly in the United States, becoming now saying it sees signs of sustainable growth ahead.
And foreign exchanges, we haven't spoken much about the pound recently, but it's sort of up and down a bit, really. It's doing quite well this morning.
Yeah, well, it's been hopes around the UK economy, fiscal support starting to shine through. But against that, there's still the uncertainties of the future trading relationship. And we should remind ourselves that Brexit by no means has disappeared off the agenda as we go through the course of 2019. There's still the potential for a cliff edge, no deal Brexit at the end of this year as we go through the period of transition. So I thought I'd leave it a couple of days before reminding us all of that. But that's likely to drive sterling, at least in the short term. Medium term. Pound against the dollar looking a little bit stronger, you say, this morning, 131.5. Euro dollar coming in at 1.12. Going to get 1 euro, 17.5 cents for your British pound this morning.
And Sajid Javid's announced he's going to make his first post-Brexit budget on March the 11th. It'd be ironic if he had to change all the spending plans if there is a cliff deal Brexit looming.
Yeah, it's true. Now, there is some wiggle room, of course, for the Chancellor. They've changed the rules a little bit, saying that they can borrow to invest. It goes back to Gordon Brown. Borrow to invest is the road to success. Borrow to spend is the road to the end. So not around the day-to-day spending, but borrow to invest to put money into infrastructure. Somewhere around about £100 billion or so is likely to be the figure, £20 billion per year. But announcing that and talking about trying to rebalance the UK, been too reliant on London, been too reliant on the southeast, talking about improving the connectivity, particularly of northern cities, in an effort to try and get more from the UK economy longer term.
Gordon Brown.
Gordon Brown. Trousers are brown. Is that what you're going to say?
I knew you were going to say that. Right, thank you. Talk to you tomorrow.
Have a good day.
Hang pots and Barclays.